concerned with that which is before them and not go above that which they can understand and enter into these issues, and then they divide themselves among issues which they probably haven't understood in the first place, or make issues of what I brought on with their issues of ijtihad initially. Okay, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. It's said by ignorant people that a blind scholar cannot make ijtihad. Please refute, inshallah. No, I mean, the issue of blindness is not an issue which negates a person from making ijtihad. It might prevent him from making ijtihad in certain matters that require eyesight in, but does not prevent ijtihad in other matters, because ijtihad, according to the principles of usul al-fiqh, can be in one matter. You might be qualified to make ijtihad only in one matter, and in every other matter you're not qualified to make ijtihad. So the issue of the ability to sight is not a condition which requires a person to make ijtihad that he's able to see. Although it might be a requirement in some issues, if in order to present judgment concerning that issue, it needs the ability to see. And there is no way to present that information outside of seeing. And Allah knows best. And if you want to know the conditions for ijtihad, check the books of Usul al-Fiqh. They're all listed there. I'm a little confused. Well, this is not the intent to confuse people. You mentioned in the declaration that these scholars said that we can participate in jihad and is obligatory upon the Muslims until the last day. But I have heard that a student of a certain sheikh has said, apparently in a message in the United Kingdom, that there is no jihad in the world at the moment. Does this mean that there is no killing against the kuffar, like in Kashmir, Chechnya, and elsewhere? Please clarify. Jazakallahu khairan. I find it surprising to believe that any scholar would say that there's no jihad at the present moment. How can that be when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that jihad continues until the day of judgment? So if they mean that, for instance, there is no offensive jihad, because we know jihad is two types, the offensive jihad and the defensive jihad. The offensive jihad requires the khalifa. In other words, for the Muslims in one country to attack the non-Muslims in another country. To initiate the warfare, this requires the khilaf, and this does not exist at this time. But the defensive jihad, in order to protect and to preserve our lands, is required and does not require a khalifa. And this is the opinion of the sheikh, of that person who is claiming that the student of that sheikh said that there is no jihad in the world today. So then that person, if he did say, he's going against his own sheikh and all that stuff. In the fatwa you read from the book, the scholars have said that even the Salafis of Egypt have falsehood in them. How can the Salafis have falsehood if, by definition, they are following the Salaf? Oh, this is a complete, shows the misunderstanding of the principle. Are the Salafis the ones who follow the Salaf only? Or are the Salafis those who attribute themselves to following the Salafis? I mean, now, does every Salafi now follow the Salaf completely? I mean, is this what we understand from the word Salafi? That every single Salafi follows the word, the Salaf? I mean, now, I would imagine that we all consider ourselves Salafi. Can you now say, and look yourself in the mirror and say, yes, I follow the Salaf completely, I don't make mistakes, I have not done anything which is falsehood? So we must distinguish between the Dawah Salafiyah, which is the true Dawah from the Quran and Sunnah, has no falsehood in it, and the Salafis, who have truth and falsehood in them, because they are men and women, and therefore are prone to error and correct. Who are the 33 students of knowledge? Can you mention some of them? What is the importance of mentioning their names? I can mention them all to you, and I would guarantee you probably know none of them. So what is the purpose? Does it not suffice that Ibn Baz put his tazkiyah upon it? Is that not sufficient? Or are there Salafis out there who have doubts that Ibn Baz is a true scholar? Then let them stand forward and say, why did you not feel that concerning Ibn Baz? How should we react to deal with students of knowledge who come to the UK and increase the fitna in this country? Should we warn the people from sitting with them? No, I'm not saying that you should warn the people from sitting with them. But let those who are in charge of your da'wah, or the scholars of this country, if they feel that it's necessary to warn against them, then they should do that. But not for the average or every single person amongst you. Thank you. Can you advise us, brothers, on how to verify information regarding I heard such and such say? You know, the Prophet has said that it suffices a person in lying that he says everything he hears. So, you know, you should not, because somebody tells you something, go verify it. No. This is not the way. That everything you hear, you must go act upon. Or tell, or speak of it. But if there's no benefit, and if the person who's talking is just wagging his tongue and wants to enter into fitna, should stop him. He starts saying, brother, brother, says so and so. Say, okay, thank you very much. Jazakallah khairan. We end the discussion here. Brothers should use their time judiciously, as the brothers who wrote the declaration said. They should not become their habit just to spread tales and rumors here and there. And Allah knows best. Have you been referring to backbiting just amongst the Salafis, or backbiting between groups of Salafis and people from others, Hizb al-Tahrir? No, I was referring in particular concerning what I found between the brothers themselves. In this journey, I didn't sit with people from other groups, I mean, to my, at least to what it appeared to me. And I assumed that most of the people who spoke to me, I mean, identified themselves as Salafis. So I was referring to them in particular. What should we do with aliens such as Sufis and Shiites physically try to stop us from giving da'wah to Muslims and non-Muslims? Anyway, this is a matter of ijtihad based upon the benefits obtained and the harms occurring, whether one should respond to force with force. And in general, it is my belief and my experience that we should avoid any sort of physical confrontation when we are living in a non-Muslim country, whether that is with deviants or with non-believers. And that we should be patient. And that the only time a person should raise his arm is only when he needs to defend himself because he's being attacked. But outside of that, we should not engage into physical conflicts with people, and Allah knows best. Can you explain, please explain the status of the people in Saudi Arabia? Or of two people in Saudi Arabia? Salman and Oda and Sheikh Zafar. Again, to the questions of Salman and Zafar. Okay. Because these people are being vilified to great extremes. Well, those who vilify Salman and Safar are ignorant. They know nothing of the religion. Ibn Baz has spoken well of them. The scholars have spoken well of them. And they are scholars of this ummah, and like any other scholar, they do correct things and they do errors. So people who vilify them only bring harm to their own souls. And they are facing some sort of hardship. They've been placed in jail. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove that hardship from them and return them back to the ummah so that we may benefit from their knowledge and their da'wah. Okay, the sister or the brother says that you said that we should not assist whoever calls to tasawwuf. And what we know of Jama'at al-Tabligh, that they call to tasawwuf. It's one of the ways of their ways. Could you explain it? Would you like more credit? But Jama'at al-Tabligh is a hodgepodge of groups. And not all Tablighis are Sufis. If you find the Tablighi brothers from Saudi Arabia, from Qatar, or from other parts of the Arabian Peninsula, they're usually Salafi in Aqidah. I've seen many Tablighi groups come to the United States from Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Not Salafis, but I found them to be Salafi in Aqidah. But the Tablighis, of course, that come from Sufi areas of the world, are predominantly Sufi. But the point is not that not every Tablighi you come across is a Sufi. Not every Tablighi you come across adheres to tasawwuf. There are some who do, and there are some who are not. So we must distinguish between those Tablighis who are Sufis, we have one stance regarding them, and those Tablighis who are not Sufis, and just are Tablighis. And even though that in Jama'at al-Tabligh there are errors, and there are mistakes, which I've spoken about before, but also they do some good. And the situation of the Muslims in these countries, especially in the West, the non-Muslim climates, we must tolerate these groups to some degree. Because, for instance, when a Tablighi person or Tablighi group takes a person outside of a bar, takes a person outside from a disco, and brings him to the masjid, and that person starts praying, starts worshipping Allah, after before he never prayed or never made wudu, that is something good. And they should be thanked and rewarded for that. The reward, of course, is with Allah. But when a tabliqi comes and takes a person who's upon the sunnah and takes them backwards, this should be prevented. And as Ibn Taymiyyah said in his essay, Furqan, not the Furqan which has been translated, Furqan bayna awliya rahman wa awliya shaytan, which you have translated in English, but the essay is Furqan bayna al-haqqi wal-basil, the Furqan between truth and falsehood. Ibn Taymiyyah makes this comment. He says that sometimes bid'ah groups, and he gives an example of two bid'ah sects, the Jahmiyyah and the Rafidah, which are the two worst and most evil sects in this ummah. He says when they come to a non-Muslim and they bring him from kufr to that bid'ah, it is better for that person. Because it's better for a person to be a Muslim mubtadi' following in a stray sect than to be a kafir. And then Ibn Taymiyyah makes a comment that is the aim to take people from one degree of good to the higher degree of good. So when a person is impious, not worshipping Allah, and filled with all these sorts of sins, and our brothers from Jama'at al-Tabligh come and take him from that and bring him to the masjid so he starts having some piety, that is better for him. Because piety with bid'ah, some bid'ah is better than unbelief, better than hypocrisy. And then, if we can then take that person from that state and make him a Salafi, that's even better. But therefore, to those people who are upon the truth, and Allah has guided them to some degree, they shouldn't go backwards and become Tablighi. But what we're talking about is for those who are astray, have no idea of the religion, and are soaking in these types of evils. And so therefore we must be realistic, brothers and sisters. The Salafis themselves cannot tend, even if you are all upon the heart of a single man, you cannot tend to all the Muslims in the United Kingdom. You cannot tend to all the non-Muslims in the United Kingdom. So you need some sort of realism in your positions and in your stances. Okay. We have to leave this hall in 5 minutes. This is going to be the last question I've been told. And my apologies, but I'll be still in this country for the next 2 or 3 days, and there'll be an opportunity for us in Shai Chad and some of these other venues to pick up some of these issues. Okay, somebody says, brothers are starting to spread rumors about your manhaj being criticized by a certain sheikh. Put an end to these rumors. Please clarify the situation. Well, the situation doesn't need clarification. Nor does it need a discussion in public. If a sheikh has said something regarding me, and he's correct, I accept his nasiha, and I'll change it. But if a sheikh says something to me which is slander, and which is based upon lies being said to him, then I have no time for slander and rumors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And the issue is not the issue one individual, the other individual, but the issue is a general nasiha to all the Muslims, and all the Salafis in particular, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Okay, with that, I'm asked to draw an end to this session. I apologize for not answering all your questions and for the lengthy discourse. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.